have a look with me. We're going to look at Genesis 2 in just a few moments, and then we'll get to Mark's Gospel. Have you noticed that how a lot of modern-day inventions have a bit of a negative effect? Let me give you an example. Automatic roller doors. I'm not talking about when you actually forget to drive the car in far enough and it comes down on the bonnet or the boot or whatever it is. No, I'm talking about the fact that, for instance, I can drive up Keck Street and about four houses from my place I can push the button and the door rises and I can just time it beautifully just to get in underneath so the aerial just misses the door and push the button and it closes as I go in and finish at the right spot. You see what the issue is? Compare that to where I used to live in Gyra. See, in Gyra, we didn't have a garage with an automatic door. We had a carport next to the side of the house. And I would often come in, and I might get you just to turn that down a little bit more because I'm talking as soft as I can. I would drive in to the driveway and park in the carport, and then if my neighbour was there, we could say at least hi, or often we would get into conversations about what was going on in their life and in mine. See the comparison? See the difference? I wonder if roller doors are just a small step that adds to the epidemic of loneliness in this world. Because it is an epidemic. This is what Emily White wrote. She's a reporter in the UK. And she wrote this on her blog. 5 years ago, I lost it, feeling intensely lonely and needing something in the way of companionship. I spent an afternoon at the local shops. Talking to the cashiers cheered me up for a bit. But by the time I'd returned to my flat, I was feeling stressed and angry. I couldn't understand why I had to resort to shopping in order to find someone to talk to at the weekend. That's the way things were for me then. If I didn't go to the shops, it would just be me and the cat. Consider these statistics. You can always search the web for statistics, and I found some statistics on the web and some recent ones from the UK. Half of all older people say that television is their companion. What does that say? And then 10% in the UK, and I'm sure it's the same in Australia, 10% of those over 65 say that they are lonely all the time. Not just occasionally, all the time. And then actually, if you look at the stats from all around the world, across all the age groups, around about 50% of people feel lonely at some stage. Interestingly enough, it's actually higher in the younger age group, in the 15 to 30-year-old age group. It's actually higher than 50% that they feel loneliness at some stage. So you can see that loneliness is something that we deal with in this world, isn't it? Loneliness is something that we all struggle with. Whether we be a follower of God or not, we struggle with loneliness. We live in a world where we do that. Now, interesting, a couple of things we need to be aware of. One, being in times of solitude is not loneliness. You can be lonesome and not lonely. And we actually saw that in that second reading. We saw that Jesus went out to a lonely place, to a solitary place. The same thing is true also. Not only can you be lonesome and not lonely, you can actually be in a crowd and be extremely lonely. You can actually feel incredible loneliness in the midst of tens, hundreds, and thousands of people. So what is loneliness? Well, the best definition I could come up with was it was a painful sense of being unwanted, unneeded, uncared for, and unnecessary. That's a lot of uns, isn't it? Unwanted, needed, uncared for, and maybe even unnecessary. And I know that in a room this size, there will be people struggling loneliness. Because that's just what happens, isn't it? And there's enough people in this room for the stats to be right. And you can be lonely, if you understand loneliness in that way, in so many different ways or in so many different situations. Let me give you an example. You can be lonely because you're single and you don't want to be. You can be lonely because you're widowed. You can be lonely because you're separated or divorced. You can be lonely because you're in a marriage in which that's what you feel. You can be lonely at school. You can be lonely at work. You can be lonely at college or university. You can be lonely at home. And you can be lonely even in a crowded room. Why? Why is loneliness something that nearly every one of us in the room has probably experienced at some time, or is experiencing now, or possibly one day will experience? Why? Well, because the Bible actually tells us that we were made for relationship. Have a look what it says in Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 18. The Lord God said, "It's not good for man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him." And as we read out earlier, we see the story then of how God creates a companion, a helper. It's not good for man to be alone. It's not like God sort of created man and then went, "I should have thought of that." No, it's actually, you can see the discussion in the Godhead showing the importance of relationship. And what's really amazing is the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, in relation with themselves, in relationship with themselves, looking at the man going, "It's not good for him to be alone." God, from the very beginning, created us to be in relationship. And we are made in the image of God. So in the same way, relationship is what is important to us. Now, you need to be careful with this passage, because you could read this passage and then make the following conclusion. Okay, so God makes man and then woman, and so the two come together, and it's basically the first marriage. So therefore, the answer to loneliness is marriage. No, that's not a good assumption to make for several reasons. Let me explore some of them with you. The first thing is, God gives marriage as a gift. Do you know what else he gives as a gift? Singleness. They're both gifts. So it's not one or the other. They're both gifts. Those who are lonely in a marriage will tell you that marriage isn't the answer to loneliness. And I often hear the lie, and it is a lie or a wrong belief at best, when people say, and I sometimes hear this when two people are getting married, one says of the other, "They complete me." Have you heard that? "This person completes me now." That is such a lie. Does that mean that before then they weren't complete? Does that mean then for the person who is single that they're not complete? Does that mean for the person who's now widowed that they're not complete? No, of course not. Actually, there is one who completes us. There is one in whom we are complete. And we see that in the Genesis passage, don't we? We see it very clearly in chapter 1. Have a look in chapter 1, verse 26. "Then God said, 'Let us make man in our image, in our likeness, let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over the livestock and over all the earth and over all creatures that move along the ground.' So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them." In God, there is completeness, because we are made to be in relationship with him. It's only when we rebel against him, when humanity rebelled against God, that all the muck came about. And in Jesus, completeness comes again. And Jesus actually is another example of why marriage is not the answer to loneliness. Jesus wasn't married. Are we saying that he wasn't complete? He's the person who's lived the most human life in total relationship with his Father in heaven. So we are made for relationship. That's obvious in the Genesis passage, and it's also obvious in the Mark passage. Did you see it? Have a look with me at Mark chapter 1. One of my favourite stories. Mark chapter 1. I had someone earlier this week say to me, why on earth did you pick Mark chapter 1 as the reading? Has it got something to do with the idea of at the end there where it says in verse 45, so Jesus went out to lonely places. Did you just, you know, maybe they were assuming I did a word search and just looked for the word lonely and just picked that passage. Actually, no, not really, but it actually is related to that. No, the reason why I picked this passage is because it's seen in the opening verses. A man with leprosy came to him and begged him on his knees, if you are willing, you can make me clean. And filled with compassion, Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. I am willing, he said. Be clean. And immediately the leprosy left him and he was cured. Did you see it? Did you see the example, the evidence that we are made for relationship just there in that passage, in just those first couple of verses? There's a man with leprosy. Now, if you know anything about leprosy, you know it's a contagious disease. You can read it throughout the scriptures. It was a disease that caused fear in people because it meant that you were cut off. You could never come into this room if you had leprosy. Never, ever, ever come into this room. You couldn't go into the temple. You couldn't worship with God's people. In fact, more often than not, you would live on the outskirts of town, outside of town, alone, by yourself, or maybe with a couple of other people who had leprosy too. And if for whatever reason you came into town, you would cry, you had to cry out, unclean, unclean, and people would just part the ways. What do you think those people were suffering with? Loneliness. Loneliness. They could never be part of society. They were outcast, literally outcasts. And what does Jesus do? Jesus shows this man that he is cared for, that he is wanted, that he is necessary. How does he do it? He reached out and touched him. Did you see that? He touched a leper. Technically, you could argue he didn't touch a leper because Jesus healed him, but can you see what I mean? He reached out and did something that this man hadn't felt for a long time, if ever. Touch. Jesus showed that relationship is what is central to it. We were created for a relationship. Now, ultimately, Jesus deals with this man's spiritual loneliness, as it were, for want of a better term. Because Jesus will die on the cross for this man, and he deals with your spiritual loneliness and my spiritual loneliness as well on the cross. Because on the cross, our loneliness, our separation from God is dealt with by Jesus. We are cared for. We are wanted. We are loved. The obvious example of that is Jesus. Now I know that sounds like a pat answer, but it's not a pat, it's truth. And my prayer is that the Holy Spirit will make that very clear to us, that Jesus shows us that we are wanted and we are loved. In fact, actually, something I saw in this passage this week to show how much we are wanted and loved by God was the great reversal. I actually never realized it before until I was looking at this passage this week. Jesus went to the lonely places. He had to go to the lonely places because he became so popular that he couldn't stay in the town anymore. But Jesus went to the lonely places. He went to the lonely place of being the one who took on the sin of the world, who bore it on a cross, who cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? And he takes on the separation from his Father so that you and I don't need to live in the lonely places anymore. but rather in relationship again with the Lord God Almighty. The great reversal. Jesus deals with that ultimate loneliness, that spiritual loneliness, as it were. And it is so important. This was brought home to me this week again when I was doing some reading. I was reading some words written by an English person called Stephen Fry. Many of you might know Stephen Fry. He's pretty well known. He hosts the QI show and lots of other things. Here is a man that's well connected. He's really well connected. He's got lots of people around him who've got all the same sort of interests. This is what he wrote. And he's talking about why he's lonely. I get invitations through the post almost every day. I shall be in the Royal Box at Wimbledon. Pretty impressive, isn't it? I have serious and generous offers from friends asking me to join them in the south of France, Italy, Sicily, South Africa, British Columbia, and America this summer. Half his luck. And yet he's still lonely. Christ came to reconcile us again with the Father, to deal with that spiritual loneliness. But there's a loneliness that exists between people as well, isn't there? A physical loneliness, for want of a better term. And God deals with that too. You know what one of his greatest creations was? The church. The church. He brings people back into relationship with him, and what does he do? He brings them together as the church, wherever it might be, across the world, across time. He brings brothers and sisters in Christ together. Jesus said, I love this quote of Jesus. He says in Mark chapter 10, truly I tell you, no one who has left home or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for me in the gospel will fail to receive 100 times as much in this present age of homes, brothers, sisters, mothers, children and fields and persecutions, and in the age to come eternal life. So in this age, we receive 100-fold mothers, brothers, sisters, fathers and so on. Where? I'm looking at. The church is meant to be a place of healing. This is meant to be a place where God's people gather and where others can come too, and they know that they are cared for and that they are loved. Now, it is possible to come here and not experience that. One, through choice, you can come and then whiz off before the service ends and never engage. Or two, we can be really bad at loving each other. But the challenge for us is not to be that, but to rather be loving of each other and to be bearing each other's burdens and caring for each other. And especially, this is a word for those of us sitting in the pews today who don't feel lonely. We should be looking out for those around us who are. We need to be looking out. How often do we come to church and actually ask God, Lord, show me who I need to care for and serve today? What a great prayer to pray before we come to church. Who is it, Lord, that I need to serve today and to care for? This is to be a place where that is dealt with. And it can be so easy. There's a group in the service that meets before this, in the 9:15 service. Basically, people who are mostly all widowed. And you know what they do? They just go to one of the pubs around town on a Sunday. Because you know what they do in pubs on Sundays? Sunday roasts. But here's a whole lot of elderly people who love a Sunday roast. And so they go to pubs around town on a Sunday and they eat together. And they look out for each other. I know of people who catch up during the week over a coffee, whether at home or in cafes. But it's an easy thing to do. And when we gather together over morning tea, do we realise that that's actually part of our worship together, in which we look out for those around us, and particularly those who are lonely. We were made to be in relationship. And that's why when we're not, we struggle with that loneliness. Ultimately, we need to be right with God. And Jesus dealt with that. And we need to be dealing with each other too. And reminding each other that we're not unnecessary. And that we're not uncared for. And that we're not unloved. I love the example of Jesus, who reached out with compassion and touched the leper and said, "I am willing." Let me pray for us. Father, you know where each of us this morning are. You know the hearts and the spirits of those who are aching at the moment with great loneliness for various reasons. Father, I pray that one, that you would reach out, you would bring comfort and peace to them, because you are the God of all mercy and you are the God of all comfort. But Lord, I pray that you would burden the rest of us. We would look out for each other. We would watch out for those who struggle with loneliness. And as we continue this series, Lord, those who struggle with the fear of death, those who struggle with fear, those who struggle with guilt, those who struggle with sadness. May we be that hundredfold mothers, brothers, fathers, sisters to them. This we ask in your precious name. Amen.